John Batson with my good colleague, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Speaking of the Americas these many years with Evan, it never occurred to me that the Congress was a place to look for good news in the Americas. But it is right now to my reading. It is called the Americas Act. It has bipartisan support. Senator Bennett of Colorado is mentioned prominently. Senator Cassidy, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin is mentioned. So are other members of the Congress on both sides of the aisle. As I understand it, the Americas Act, which is about devoting resources, investment resources, and encouraging others from the United States to invest in the Americas, having to do with this term nearshoring or friendshoring or onshoring, bringing back the supply chain over dependence upon the hostile People's Republic of China. At the same time, there is the suggestion right now that this will counter China in a way that is not meant to be kinetic or sinister or in some fashion using tariffs. It looks to me from the outside to be positive, but Professor, you've worked in government. I don't do anything but read the history books about it. This America's Act has the sponsorship of Chris Dodd, the extremely esteemed senior former senator from Connecticut. And the president is keen on satisfying an election audience, which would include the Americas and relatives in the Americas. But also this would be a keen answer to the migration story about developing resources in the Americas to keep people from migrating to the U.S. out of desperation. Is this as positive as I'm making it sound, or are there caveats? Thank you.
Well, John, I think there are some caveats. First of all, let me say that there's a kernel of a really good idea here, having worked at China, Latin America for many years. Although both parties are inherently positive towards the idea, although somewhat vaguely stated, it is not clear that in this bitter election year in the United States that either party will be able to allow a solution that allows the Biden administration to appear to have taken credit for something so central, not unlike what happened with the border, or that the Republicans will be comfortable with the way that the Democrats want to shape this. However, at the kernel of this is this idea of trade. And this goes back to the free trade area of the Americas, which for a different set of reasons back in the 1990s substantially tried to go forward but couldn't because of Brazil and some of the other opponents in the region, such as Venezuela. But the idea is that a lot of the political and other worrisome advances of the PRC is due to its ability to provide loans and apparent investment promises. At the same time, because of the difficulty of orienting private sector capital in places where they don't want to go in the Americas because of a lack of, of juridical security, concerns about corruption and other things for U.S. companies. So, when you can't force private capital to go where you want to go, how do you compete with this Chinese offer that seems to be seducing the region? Well, part of it is a bit what has happened in Mexico, which is, farther free trade agreements in a free trading system in which the draw of the U.S. market can be something that if you have to agree to be transparent, you have to agree to follow democratic procedures, et cetera, et cetera. And so in many ways, without trying to channel investments, you can use the power of the U.S. market. And the U.S. tends to be a really good customer in terms of value added, in terms of the types of investments with good corporate social responsibility it inspires. But there are a couple of hitches. Number one is that actually negotiating the details of free trade agreements and getting them ratified. That pushed a lot of resistance in the region in the 1990s and 2000s until the FTAA initially collapsed. Even within the U.S., the difficult terms, the negotiation of the NAFTA and later USMCA and others, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And so, it's the devil's in the details to whether this idea of a broader FTA could be actually implemented, both in the region and in terms of U.S. Domestic politics, whether implemented. One of the other risks, as we've seen with nearshoring in Mexico, is that the oftentimes it actually accelerates the advance of Chinese capital because the Chinese want to reinvent themselves as companies within the trading system rather than be excluded from it. So you see something like 40% of all of the new investment rushing into Nuevo León, Mexico, is actually coming from Chinese companies who want to be inside the Mexican system with access to the market and not outside it. So a really good potential concept. Lots of difficulties both politically and in implementation, but at least it's nice. It's nice in this election year to have at least some good ideas being talked about in Washington.
And do you measure that this is an idea that can extend past the election? In other words, I can see the attractiveness to both parties at this moment, but is it your experience that Washington will focus on developing the Americas indefinitely? These are rich opportunities with well-educated bases. We have 30 seconds.
There's two good ideas here, John. Number one is the use of trade and not just channeling investment in order to compete with China as an alternative and establishing certain conditionality on that trade, although that's difficult. The second idea is continuing to put emphasis on the Americas even past the election. I think that could happen, although I think historically that now, as always, there's always some other shiny ball to distract us, whether in the Middle East or other places.
Professor Evan Ellis, the Americas Act. Watch for it. Now and in future, the Americas Act. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,